Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we have a very special episode for you guys this week. This is our first ever Smallville mailbag episode. And to join me with sifting through you guys' mail is my friend Nick Ryan Magdoza. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going?
It's great, man. It's been a while since you've been on the podcast, huh?
It has. Hey, have you ever thought of calling it the Smallville? No, never mind.
see that right there is why you've not been on the podcast in a while.
Well, that explains a lot.
In season one, right, we kind of would incorporate them into the conversations and all that. But I felt like, you know, if I keep doing that, you know, these episodes are going to get like over two hours on a consistent basis, right?
Right.
I figured it'd be best, you know, if we have a dedicated, you know, Smallville mailbag episode. And, you know, it's the hiatus of Smallville. You know, at this point, you know, we're in between Skinwalker and Visage right now. This was the winter hiatus because traditionally Smallville would have, you know, would have its first half of the season and then its hiatus and then it'd come back. But then even then it would have like usually some like 5 to 6 week break in the spring, like after February sweeps, and it'd be like, oh, okay, well, that just killed all the momentum. But that's what happens when you have to spread out 22 episodes over a, you know, a 6 or 7 month span.
Yeah, but you were always excited when it came back. You're like, oh, it's finally back. Tell everybody, it's like, hey, are you going to watch the episode tomorrow?
And you going to watch the fresh episode?
The fresh episode. Oh, man.
I don't know how often I'll have these. I mean, obviously, you know, I get a lot of and just to say, hey, really appreciate the feedback, guys. Like, I mean, that's you. When you're a podcaster and people, like, give you feedback, that's, like, the best thing ever. Like, I'd rather have feedback than money, which is great because I make no money off this. In fact, it costs me money. You know, you actually lose money. I lose money. I lose time. I lose so much doing this podcast.
It's your passion, man. When you're doing your passion, it's like, this is an amazing podcast to do too, Smallville. And then in the time of superheroes right now, it's like, let's go back to its roots. How it all started on TV.
Truly is a passion project. And but yes, I mean, just knowing that you guys are out there listening and are enjoying it, I mean, that really makes it all worthwhile. I mean, I'd still do it anyway, but but that really makes it a lot more like, oh, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody has to say about the episode. So, yeah, so what we do here, you know, we just have a list of messages and emails and reviews that you guys have sent us over the last, you know, few weeks and months even. Because I haven't really, like I said, I haven't really read anything out on air since we've come back for season two. So we're just going to, Nick and I are just going to kind of go down the list here. Like, I guess I could have done this by myself, but it's a lot more fun when you have somebody to bounce off of, Nick.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Like, right.
as I just did there, as you said.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that.
Segue.
Oh, man. Now, this is not every message, email, and, you know, any that we've gotten. This is not all of them in their entirety by any means, but, you know, we just picked a lot, and that was a good representation of the feedback we've been getting and to share with you guys. And again, we're going to do this on a semi-regular basis. I don't know if it's going to be every quote-unquote hiatus or when, but, you know, when the mailbag gets a little too full, when you empty it out, we'll do a mailbag episode. So that's going to be the kind of approach moving forward.
Okay, so mailbags are basically bags of mail. Like, we used to get letters through the postage.
Do kids not know this anymore, Nick?
I don't know. It's like, actually, when I think about it, back then, like, whatever you got mail, it wasn't really a big deal. But actually now I feel like, well, when I actually get actual letters, I do get really hyped up. It's like, oh, what is this? Who did this come from?
Yeah, you ever seen that meme or the cartoon on the internet where it's like 1999, it's like, oh, look at all this mail. Oh, but look, I got an email. And it's like 2009. Oh, look at all these emails. Oh, but I got a real piece of mail. So it's interesting how the society has shifted. So
maybe we should start a P.O. box.
Maybe we should start reading the mail. So we'll start with the iTunes reviews. Listener Joy.365 said, my new favorite show. That's what her review says. It says, great podcast, guys. Love it. Thank you. This show is, quote, going to be the stuff of legends, end quote, with the winking emoji, which is, of course, referencing Lex Luthor Clark at the end of Hug. So thank you for that, Joy. We do our best. So, and then our next review from Jennifer W215 says, great revisit of Smallville. Now that Twilight Pwn is over, I needed a new podcast, and this was recommended. I am thoroughly enjoying the episode-by-episode recap. I was an avid watcher when Smallville first came out, and I had forgotten how good the dynamic between Lex and Clark was. Thank you. Great insights. Fun to listen to. Well, thanks so much, Jennifer. And what she's referencing there, Nick, is I'm a big fan of the Twilight Pwn podcast. It's a podcast that goes through each and every episode of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, yes. I do remember this.
The guys take a pretty irreverent approach to it, but they're still fans, you know? And that's the kind of conversation I like. Big fandom, but irreverent. And not like crude irreverent. I'm talking like look, you got to have fun talking about this. That's what I mean when I say right. irreverent. Yeah. It's like, oh, how dare you poke fun at the great Smallville? This is my favorite show. Like, that's that's pretentious. Nobody wants to hear that. I give credit where credit is due, and I love the show, or I wouldn't, you know, like I said, spend all my time and money. Like, I wouldn't do the show the way I do it. But, you know, you got to have fun with it, right?
Right. I think that's what brings a lot of people to the show, or why we keep coming back to be your guest, because it's just fun to talk about it. It was our childhood or our high school careers, and it's just great to relive it every day.
Every day, that's correct.
Well, it's on Hulu, so it's really easy to relive it.
It is now, yeah. I know. Look, I started this podcast before that was even going to happen, so yeah. It all worked out for the best, as it always does. And then, yeah, and speaking of the Twilight Zone, like I said, if anybody is a fan of the Twilight Zone, apparently somebody who was a fan of the Twilight Zone was a fan of Smallville. I always wonder how much crossover, you know, because I do X-Files podcasts, I do Star Trek podcasts, so, like, I'm always... There's a lot of crossover between all these nerd fandoms, right? That I'm interested to cross pollinate and see who comes over to which based off what, you know, Twilight Zone and Smallville, probably a very, very, very thin Venn diagram there, but hey, there was somebody. So I'm glad you liked it, Jennifer. And, if you guys like the Twilight Zone, I recommend the Twilight Pwn, which is hilarious. A hilarious podcast. And if you want more of like an intellectual, no offense to those guys, but they know what I'm talking about. The Twilight Pwn is like the MST3K of Twilight Zone podcasts. The Twilight Zone podcast is like the Masterpiece Theater, right? So the Twilight Zone podcast is another podcast about the Twilight Zone, and it comes from a much more serious approach. Not that it's pretentious in any way, but I'm just saying if you want a different flavor of reviews. Of episodes, that's the way they do, and they complement each other well. And those are my two favorite Twilight Zone podcasts. So, if you guys are into that, recommend check them out: the Twilight Pwn and the Twilight Zone podcast. Both a couple of my favorite podcasts out there. So that is that. The next review says, "Great podcast." And by the way, these are all 5 stars, and we are all. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying facts, Nick.
Don't challenge accept people.
every review we have is 5 stars, so
which is amazing. I'm just saying this to see you from where it started to up to now. Great job.
Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. That's why you're here, to tell me things like that, encourage me as I read this mail. great podcast from Newick 39. So I've always been a fan of Superman. And Smallville is one of the best adaptations of the story, in my opinion. The thing about this podcast is that the hosts are fans of the show that you'd like to talk to about it. and behind-the-scenes tidbits and interviews of the cast and director's notes shed a new light on each of the episodes. I'm hooked. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you for that. And yeah, we try to pull from, like I said, the Smallville Official Companion, available wherever books are sold, as I always say. I think that adds a different flavor, because it's one thing for us to just sit here and talk about it, Nick, you know, but then to actually bring in some real facts, I think brings some legitimacy to things, huh?
That's actually one of the reasons why I also liked being on the shows, because you actually bring up things that I actually didn't know, and I'm like, oh, that's really great to know.
The more you know.
Oh, I just made a little movement with my hand to make it look like a star.
Is that still a thing? Does NBC still do that?
I don't think so. I think we're past the age of like after school specials. Unfortunately.
Well, no wonder society is so messed up. Those things are crucial to our development as children. Anyway, so moving on to the next review. An all-new, fresh episode. Refresh is what they say in parentheses. So making a play of the fresh episode, Nick, which you're so familiar with. So this is by John316 Saves, so thank you for that. I've been a huge Superman fan all my life, and when I found Smallville, I was hooked instantly. The thing I loved about Smallville was that it seemed like it could be real, putting Clark in real-life problems that almost everyone goes through in growing up. you know, like dealing with a freak of the week and trying to hide your secret powers from everyone. So I see what you did there. Very nice.
I go through that every week.
If you love Smallville like I did, and if the CW verse, though good, can't truly fill the gap that's left since it stopped being on TV, then I highly suggest you check this podcast out. It breaks down every episode and even goes into detail about Easter eggs. And well, thank you. we try. So I don't feel like we're like filling a void of that. I mean, I feel like we're filling a void of Smallville conversation. There have been other podcasts that have actually cropped up since we've started. So I feel like on some level, we might have shown there's actually an audience still for this kind of conversation. So hey, that's to know that, you know, you might have sparked more people to want to talk about it is the whole purpose of podcasts anyway. So that's good to know. And look, I love the CW verse. Arrow has had some tough spots, but I feel like it's actually back on track finally. Which I'm shocked. I think they actually, because you know, season 3 was in, they said, okay, season 4, we're going back to basics, right? And we're going back to what worked. And you get to season 4 and you're like, well, I mean, some of it was better, but some of it was a lot worse. And it's just like, yeah. I'm done with this show after next season. I'm going to give it its 5 years and I'm done with it. But now, seeing how season 5 is, I'm like, you know what? I'll watch the season 6. So well done, Arrow. Yeah. You got me. But even Legends of Tomorrow. Legends of Tomorrow, I was like, first season, like I kind of like stopped. I just lost track of it and stopped watching it because there's too much to watch. But I picked it back up with season 2, and I've loved season 2 so far.
Season 2 has been great. And I feel like every single CW show has its own little quirks, though. And for me, Legends of Tomorrow has the campiness. And it's not – I thought it was going to be like a – too many cooks scenario, but it's they play off, the chemistry is really well with it.
They've retooled the cast, which is huge. They've dropped some characters, they've added some new characters, they've changed like their mission, and that's the great thing about a show like that, with a time ship with a rotating cast, you can retool it as much as you need to. So I hope they keep the show going. I know ratings have not been that high, but I mean, for CW, I mean, it kind of feeds into the other shows. So I think just by the sheer success of Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends will be, you know, will continue at least. I mean, I hope for another season because I really enjoy it. So, because you can do stuff on that show you can't do on the other shows.
Yes, very. And you can introduce so many other characters that wouldn't make sense in a normal storyline. But hey, time travel, you can do anything.
So, there, our last iTunes review that we'll read here says Smallville lives. A riff on Superman Lives, I assume. So it's by Supermat 824, and he says, I've recently been listening to podcasts for Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, etc., and was worried I would not find a Smallville. Little did I know there is one. I'm so happy there is an in-depth podcast around for one of my favorite shows. I appreciate your thoughts, even though I disagree with Zach's view on season 4. I cannot wait for the complete series to be done. Well, yeah, well, you know, hopefully that means that you can't wait to listen to all the episodes. But yes, thank you so much for that, Super Matt. There are lots of podcasts about other shows. The only other, like, DC TV podcast I listen to, actually, is Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. It's part of the Thunderquack podcast network. The hosts of the show actually live in Canada, so they know about all the locations that Arrow shoots in, and they know a lot of the bit actors. Like, oh, I know that guy. He's in my acting class, so... Michael Cohen and Amanda Conklin are the hosts of that show. And I started listening to that way back when I was like, you know, I want to get into podcasting. You know, Arrow just started. I wonder if there's an Arrow podcast. Maybe I could do an Arrow podcast, right? Because Smallville's over. Who wants to talk about that? Nobody wants to listen to that. You know, this is like 2012. I immediately looked and like there was like already like 5 or 6 Arrow podcasts. Like, oh, okay, well, I missed the boat on that. But I found, you know, Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast, and their approach is they watch the show on their own, right? But then they get together and they watch the show together, and it's basically like a commentary as they watch the show. It's fun. You know, they go on their tangents. They usually have – it's funny. They have, like, their hour-long discussion, and then, like, they have, like, a 30-minute, like, post-credit sequence, if you will, random conversation, stuff like that. So that's really the only other DC podcast I listen to, if you guys care to know. I'm talking about – I guess this has become a more Q&A about me now, talking about which podcast I listen to, Twilight Zone, Arrow. So thank you guys for all those iTunes reviews. Keep those coming. You know, the more iTunes reviews you get, the more people find out about your show, or so I've been told, so the metrics would say. So yeah, if you guys would please go leave some more reviews, and maybe we'll read yours next time in our next mailbag episode. So let's move on to mail proper here. Nick, I'm gonna put you to good use here, my friend, and you can start reading some.
When you say mail proper, do you mean email proper.
Yeah, email, excuse me, yes, okay. It's the 21st century. This is, email is mail. So so we'll start out with our first email here at the top of the list, Nick. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, sure. So this is from Rebecca McDonald. So first, I'm going to apologize if I misspell any, or misspell, missay any of your names.
I think you nailed that one.
Are you sure? You never know. All right. So she starts off with saying, awesome first season. Hey, guys, just wanted to say I thoroughly enjoyed the first season of your podcast. Looking forward to season two. I'm just going to say one thing in defense of season four, because I agree it's the worst season. But it did have some key episodes that introduced important ideas and characters, like the Three Stones, Flash, Lois Lane, Lex's good versus bad side, etc. Plus, the premiere and the finale were both great episodes. So it's a necessary piece of the Smallville world, even though it's mostly garbage. Until next season, enjoy your hiatus.
So, you know, our last iTunes review there also mentioned season four and how they disagree. And apparently, you know, and throughout the social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, I've pretty much said, yeah, season four is the worst. Maybe season seven. I'm not, you know, one of the two. Like, they're both the worst. Like, those are the two worst seasons of the show, in my opinion, right? But a lot of people disagree with me. A lot of people love season four, right? I know Super Matt back there, they just left that iTunes review. He loves season four. Looks like, hey, Rebecca at least agrees that it's garbage. look, hey. Entertainment is subjective. If you like it, good for you. But I'm just saying, for me, I didn't like it. So what did you think of season four, Nick?
Season four was actually the season where I stopped watching the show.
Okay, well, there you have it. Thank you.
Well, okay, so it's a give and take, though. It was more of like I didn't really have time, but then it also it came in that area where I wasn't so hyped up to see what's going to happen, what's the next fresh episode. So it kind of lost me there. So I can't really say if it was because of the quality episodes or if it was just because I just got so busy with life. So, but I enjoyed some of the episodes, like she says, the Three Stones, Flash, Lois Lane, and Lex going bad and good. And I never really came back to it until much later. So,
well, I mean, that when you stop watching something, not a sign, not a good vote of confidence there. I agree about the Flash, although they retcon him into Impulse. I agree about Lex's good versus bad. That was a great episode, Onyx. Premiere was, I mean, you got to see some things like Clark flying, which is the best Clark flying in the entire series, I think, in Crusade. Lois Lane, you know, I have a controversial opinion being, you know, the Smallville podcast guy I am now. I know everybody loves Lois Lane on the show. Look, I love Lois Lane starting season 8 on the show because, I go back to the fact that they let her be Lois Lane. Up till then, Chloe was Lois Lane on the show. And I don't just say that as like a Clark shipper, a Clois, like Chlois shipper, right? or theorist or whatever. Ancient astronaut theorists believe. Clois theorists believe. That's not where I come from, that. Although, I guess it kind of is. It does inform my opinion, but bottom line, like there were two Loises on the show, right? Because they had made Chloe their Lois stand in, and then they got the rights to use Lois. Like, okay, well, let's bring Lois on. And then it's like, okay, well, now we have two of them. I don't know, like they couldn't find that balance of like, how can we have these two characters do the same thing but be different and not be too much alike? And once they finally sorted all that out in season 8, they let Lois Lane be Lois Lane. That was great. Like if Clark, here's my ideal scenario, right? If Smallville was, if you were gonna like, let's take a step back in retrospect. I'm like, how could we plot this out better? If you know Small was going to last 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Have him meet Lois Lane in season 8 at the Daily Planet for the first time, right? There's a thought, right? Because up till then, I mean, all of the Clark-Lois relationship stuff, that's where it starts. You know, up till then, right. They have like this weird like brother-sister vibe, which makes it weird when they actually romantically get together later. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
No, I definitely felt that vibe. And when she was first introduced, I loved her. Well, then again, she's super pretty. But when I was first introduced, I was like, okay, so is this – I know they always like trying to do triangle type of relationships. Is this going to be a square relationship? But it was more of like a buddy-buddy type of deal. And there was a little bit more chemistry I saw with Chloe, as you mentioned. So when they did start to have relationship, it was just like, okay, I guess. It didn't – what's the word I'm looking for? It didn't flow that way immediately. It didn't feel natural at first.
Right. Well, yeah. Eventually, I mean, it took them, I guess, 4 years to get there. But after that, look, I was on board with Lois Lane. Erica Durance is great. And they didn't like they didn't throw away Chloe. I was always worried they would kill her off or marginalize her in some way. So like, okay, well, it's Lois's turn now. And like, you know, it was Lana, then it was Lois. And like, where's Chloe? Where's Chloe in all this? But, you know, they found a good niche for her. And then, you know, the character was, all the characters were served well. You know, that's what I was really afraid of with Lois. Like, they're just going to throw Chloe away. Because she was, you know, one of my favorite characters. And Allison Mack is a great actress. And I'm glad that she actually, you know, she stayed around long enough to get that second billing, finally. So that's that one. So thanks again, Rebecca. And hope you are enjoying this season. I know you wrote us that email a while ago. So I hope you have been enjoying the second season. And feel free to write in again. So our next email here is from Lane Epps. They say, thanks for the podcast. Please keep going. Well, yeah, that's the intention. We're gonna do all 200 plus episodes here. So he says, hi, Zach. I checked out your podcast after hearing you on From There to Here. And I just wanted to send you a note of encouragement to say how much I'm enjoying it. Please keep going. Side note, From There to Here is a 50th anniversary Star Trek rewatch podcast that the Trek FM network is doing. And I was a guest on many, many, many episodes of that. I talked about almost 100 episodes of Star Trek. Yes. They did. So what they were doing is they watched two episodes a day, or they covered two episodes a day, because that there's something like 700 X amount of episodes of Star Trek total. And divide that by two, it's 365 or whatever. So anyway, my point is, I talk about a lot of episodes of Star Trek, and you know, they must remember, and that's much like I was talking about with the Twilight Zone and stuff. Like, I don't know where these, you know, nerd interests intersect, but you know, somebody who was a fan of Star Trek was a fan of Smallville, and they've came over here. So thanks so much, Lane. She goes on to say, I found Smallville in first run around season 6 and was hooked immediately. To catch up on the rest of the series, I watched it from the beginning through Netflix DVDs before streaming. Does anyone still have the Netflix mail service? Like, I don't know anyone who still has that. Do you?
I don't have it, but I look at it every now and then because it's like, oh, they don't have this movie on Netflix. Yeah. It's like, oh, you can rent it from DVD. I'm like, I don't want to go through all that trouble because you have to wait.
I used to have it for a while, but then like I had DVDs would come, they'd be like broken. I'd be like, ugh. I want to watch this anyway.
Well, hey, I used to work at Hollywood Videos, so you should have just came to me and I would have helped you out.
Oh man, I missed the video store. But well, which did you work at the one off Sugar Creek or the one off Highway 6?
Highway 6.
Oh, so. which one on Highway 6? The one in First Colony or the one down by the old Albertsons?
Was it Albertsons? No, the one off of
like Highway 6 in Dulles.
Yeah, Highway 6 in Dallas. Okay, yeah. Was that Albertsons?
Yeah, yeah. Listen to us, guys. Listen to us talk about stuff like you had
the game store right next to it. So
I always liked Hollywood more than Blockbuster. I think I feel like they had more stuff.
Yeah, I might be a little bit biased, but every single time I went to Blockbuster, they weren't as organized as we were. So I'm just gonna say that.
Listen to this guy. Are you kidding me? you know the most tangent. You know the most disappointing. And we'll finish your email here in a second, Lane. This is important. This is a very important tangent. You know, one of the most disappointing movies I've ever seen is Be Kind Rewind.
Is it Be Kind Rewind?
That was so disappointing because I saw a trailer for that. I'm like, oh man, this is brilliant. You got like, Jack Black. You got Mos Def. Looks like two guys trying to run a video store, but they become irrelevant because of like DVDs and streaming. Like, this is a great concept, right? Perfect. It's not that at all. It is a
they accidentally destroy the video store and they have to remake the movies. I was just like, what? I was really hoping it was more of like trying to bring back the video store and like have a little story about it, but it's an okay movie because it is kind of funny and I did enjoy it, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
So disappointed. I guess, yeah, I went in with certain expectations, especially since I'm so nostalgic for the video store, and then we got that. I was like, oh, well, that's okay. Anyway, moving on. So getting back to your email, Lane, I apologize for our tangent. Star Trek The Next Generation and The X-Files are my all-time favorite shows, so I enjoy references to these. I have a soft spot for high school campiness, so this show is right in my sweet spot. Michael Rosenbaum's Lex Luthor character was what drew me in watching, though. I must sound like one of those people who say Enterprise is their Star Trek when I say that Smallville is my Superman, but it is. I know what you mean there. Your podcast and the format you have going is fun to listen to. I like the rotating guests because I like hearing different points of view. Well, thank you. That's the idea. And I like how you lovingly poke fun at the show. I especially like your What Day of the Week Is It segment. Those are the kind of things I wonder about as well. if you're a big fan of Star Trek The Next Generation, you know, you can hear me every week on Trek FM on our original series podcast over there, Standard Orbit. I am one of the hosts over there, and they have a great network of all kinds of Star Trek shows, so I'm very happy to be part of the Trek FM network. And also, I'm often a guest on the X-Cast, which my friend Tony Black, who is kind of the sister podcast to our show. We started around the same time, and he's going through every episode of The X-Files much the same way I'm going through every episode of Smallville. So if you're looking for some X-Files conversation, I definitely recommend you check out the X-Cast. And Tony Black will actually be on an upcoming episode of Always Sold in the Smallville. He's going to be on Suspect, which is coming up in a couple weeks. So, and then to round out your email here, Lane, she goes on to say, I reference Superman quite a lot in my daily life because I'm a woman with the first name Lane. People often misunderstand and think my name is Elaine, so I've discovered the easiest way to explain is to say, no, it's Lane, like Lois Lane, and then they get it. It's a cultural shorthand that everyone knows. Thanks again for the podcast. Please keep it up. I'm looking forward to doing a complete rewatch along with you. Best regards. So thanks so much, Lane. We intend to keep it up. So I haven't quite done the math yet, but I expect to be done around 2020, Nick. So
2020. Yeah. 2020.
So on to the next one.
All right, so this one's coming from Corey Moore. Any relations, Zach?
No relation. No relation. No relation. Spelled the same. I will say this about Corey, though. Corey is our number one fan. I mean, he sent me a care package, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I have a Clark Kent action figure. I have the complete set, the four-issue set of TV Guide when Smallville premiered with the awesome Alex Ross artwork. And I also have a Smallville number one comic book from back in the day. So Corey, good on you, man. And Corey, as you'll see here, Corey pretty much writes me after every episode with some feedback. Actually, there were a couple episodes he didn't. I was like, well, Corey, you okay? Like, did something happen, man? But he's so he's very regular at his comments, and they're very much appreciated, Corey. So please keep it up, man. And yeah, so go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, so Corey here is talking about Vortex today. So he writes, hey, Zach, I liked the long episode. It was like extra innings in a baseball or overtime in football. Go Mariners and Seahawks. Sorry. I got sidetracked. Kind of like Craig Byrne did on the podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah, I kid. He was great. His working relationship with Smallville at Insight was very interesting. Bring him back ASAP. I wish I was good at telling stories as he is. We definitely need him to finish the Smallville season companion books. I enjoyed those books immensely.
Yeah, I'll say this about Craig. Craig did come back on Lineage. He's going to be back on Rosetta. He's going to be a regular guest on the show. He's a great guest to have. He does have lots of insight, having worked so closely with the show, doing a lot of, you know, he runs Krypton Site, he runs K-Site TV, which is a great resource to stay up to date on anything, you know, related to not just like the CW-verse, but anything, any genre television. He covers it over there on K-Site TV. And then also he wrote the last few Smallville companion books. He wrote seasons 4 through 7. And then they stopped making the books after that. It really would be awesome to. I know he wants to do it. I know lots of fans will love it, but it's tough to tie in like marketing tie-ins to a show that's been off the air for so long. You got to like, where's the market for that? Like, you're not, when you sell these books, it's promotional for the next season, right? I mean, that's part of it. And so that there is no next season coming. Unfortunately,
hey, maybe
so.
We can look at Kickstarter to see.
Well,
see,
I mean, there's
actually
a lot,
anybody
not
who wants
that.
To back it.
Well, yeah, but then it's like, you know, DC Comics and Warner Brothers, right? Like, you own all the rights and all that. So those are, there's so many, there's so much red tape when it comes to that stuff if you want to do it in any kind of official capacity. But anyway, I agree, though. They're great resources, Corey.
Very great. And so he goes on saying, I gave Vortex an A-. I thought it was a nice way to wrap up season one and a good start for season two. My favorite scene was all of the Jonathan and Nixon scenes. Man, I love me some Smallville. And he writes, up, up, and away! Thank you so much, Corey. Yeah, Vortex was one of my favorite episodes. I don't want to go through the whole episode because we already did that.
Right. Well, then Corey goes on to write the next email. It's also from Corey. It's about Heat. He says, hi, Zach. Nice breakdown of the Heat episode. There's so much to like about it. Clark's new power, fun, entertaining, hot temperature, seduction, etc. My favorite moment is Clark setting the Scarecrow on fire and Jonathan's reaction to it. I agree. I gave this episode a straight up A, and I think this episode is in my top 20 best in the series. Doesn't make the top 10, but it's close. And I agree. Heat, I mean, and I said it when we talked about Heat in our episode on Heat. It's like the concept of Smallville executed its best. Like Clark Kent growing up in Smallville with superpowers, learning to cope with them. Like this is the best by far new power episode. I mean, X-Ray was pretty good as well, so I won't say by far, But both of those are really good. But Heat, I think, it's just the perfect combination of like comedy and the powers. I mean, it's handled so well. So Heat really was a good one. And then I'll go ahead and read this next one. It was kind of a side tangent that Corey and I had talked about. He's writing about auto accidents, explosions. Yeah. Because I had actually asked him to do a tally. Well, I had said, you know what, I believe it was Lance and I were talking in our Duplicity episode. We were like, you know what, we should do a count on all the car accidents in Smallville, like not just the Kents. And I bet my boy Corey Moore could help me out. And he did. He said, I'll just paraphrase here. He said that he documented a total of 32 car accidents, explosions, wrecked, flipped, shot, damaged, blown up, and crashed vehicles. And he ended up emailing me like an itemized list of everything. And much appreciation, Corey. I really do appreciate it. But I went ahead and decided, you know what? It's going too far down the rabbit hole. So I'm just not going to go there. We're just going to stick to the Kent car accidents. But I really know that your work is appreciated, Corey. And I just wanted to call you out for all that hard work.
So Corey goes on in writing and talking about Duplicity this time. And he mentions that this podcast needs more of Lance. Great conversation with him about the Duplicity episode. Shout out to Lance. How's it going? Favorite moment from this episode is when Clark gets in front of Pete's car. Pete, we need to talk. That it was a really great scene. Looking back at my records, I also gave this episode an A-. Our ratings have been similar so far. The Spell episode is looming. Up, up, and away.
Yeah, so Spell, Corey loves Spell. Like, that's like his like favorite, you know, episode. Not maybe his favorite, but he really does like it, and he knows how much I don't like it. I don't like season 4, so he always gives me a hard time about it. So maybe we'll have him on to discuss Spell. That might be a good conversation there. So thank you. So like I said, look, Corey writes in every episode, and I don't want to read them all because, like I said, he's our number one fan. And hey, if you guys want to send me a Smallville care package, maybe I'll read all your emails too. I'm just saying, favoritism, maybe. So thank you so much, Corey. You're getting the airtime. You've earned it well. So moving on to our next email, it's from Robin Sodmont, and she says, hello, season 2, hello again. Robin emailed us back in season 1 as well. And she says, what a momentous day to be writing you at the Smallville podcast, as it is October 1st, and Smallville is now available on Hulu. So that's, you know, that's when she wrote that email. So she says, so here's a few words of appreciation. It was very neat listening to Craig, who was such a part of the show in a way. I got on Krypton site like every day back in those days. I waited for all the spoilers, looked through all the released photos, and I read so much of the forums, which could explain my lengthy emails, because she writes a lot. So I'm you know, kind of paraphrasing what she's saying here. I'm skipping around, but she understands, because it was quite a chunk of text. And know that it is all read, everybody.
It has, but, yes,
you know,
it's all read.
You know, there's only so much really time on the podcast to read it out loud. But yes, thank you for all your thoughts, for sure. She goes on to say, I don't believe I ever wrote in the forums, as I did not have a username, but boy, did I read them. So maybe I even read a few of your thoughts back then. I could spend hours reading the different discussions and thoughts from people. And those awards Craig did, I also took part in. April's Fool threads got me all the time. I would freak out over the news, and I was like, wait a minute, what day is it? It was always fun to see what he would come up with as fake news. I enjoyed all the insights he shared. I didn't even know the extent of his involvement, so pretty cool. Yeah, those April Fool's things really got me. I remember the one that really got me. I'm usually really savvy to this, but the one that really got me was, I believe it was after season 4, after season 5, he had one that said, Superman 5, starring Tom Welling, coming soon, filming this summer. I was like, oh my God, it's happening! And for about 30 seconds, I was really excited, and then I realized, oh, it's April Fool's Day. So... So she goes on to say, I'm so excited to be going through these episodes of season 2. I mentioned it was one of my favorite seasons, if not my favorite. It does echo a lot of greatness that made up season 1, but doesn't get quite as dark as season 3, where Clark really takes a beating. That is true. Season 3 really is a dark season. Also, you guys mentioned something I never realized until now. How about the fertilizer plant being taken over and how Lex tried to save it? It was never wrapped up and really mentioned again. What a shame. Like a few storylines, that one was surely dropped and forgotten. Chloe and her dad, as well as others, fought so hard against Lionel's efforts. It was a major point in the finale of season 1, and then never really mentioned again. Well, they actually have slowly been at least establishing that LexCorp exists and Luther Corp exists as separate entities, but they took their sweet time doing it. Like, it took them a long time to get on that, but you know, in retrospect, they should have mentioned it. Like, that was a cliffhanger. Oh my God, the Luther Corp plant closed, and they just kind of brushed over it. Anyway, she has a long email here, like, 'cause I'm still cutting it down as I read it. But she says, I also agree with you guys on the topic of Clark's red and blue shirt jacket combo. one of my peeves of later seasons. Like, how many of those shirts did he own? Some got ruined in episode, and then yet that's all he was seen wearing. What a boring wardrobe. It'd be like, gosh, man, don't you own anything else? These earlier episodes are not that way, and it seems more realistic. I understand it was kind of a, quote, pre-costume, unquote, but they've always said they kept him in these colors to represent who he is, but it is certainly overused, I think. Anyway, you're doing a fabulous job. I appreciate the conversations being had. Great stuff. Thanks. Can't wait to hear more. So thanks so much, Robin. And feel free to write in anytime. It will all be read, but only some of it will probably make it on air. Because as you're self-aware, that was a pretty long email, but I love it. I love the passion. I love the thoughts. So thank you so much. So moving on to the next one, Nick.
So we have another letter here from Corey. Hello again, Corey. And this is about Is it Redux or Redo?
Redo, what are you, French?
Well, I was thinking about it earlier.
I've always said Redux, but yeah.
Redux. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. All right. All right, so we have a letter from Corey Moore once again. How's it going? So this one was about Redux. It goes, "Hi, Zach. Nice job breaking down the Redux episode. I've had this episode flagged for a while and was glad that you tackled it. Love me some Smallville, but this one was stinky. On a positive note, I did like the new principal. I would have given your episode review an A+, but then you just had to start ripping the spell episode." Smiley face emoji. "When you get to that episode, you're going to be surprised on how much you like it. I guarantee it. Witches and stones and a barn party. Oh my. Up, up and away."
again, he's just such an advocate for this episode. But, you know, it's... Yeah, Corey, you're just going to have to be on that episode with me, man. We'll discuss it then.
I'm looking forward to see this episode.
There's so much... People love season 4 and they love that. I don't know. Season 4 was an interesting time for me personally, though, because as you know, Nick, because you went to high school with me, you're younger than me, so you got to see me before and after all my friends left, because the majority of my closest friends were a year older than me in high school, so they all left in season 4. Listen to me. This is life in Smallville blurring together. So season 4 of my life, no. But my senior year of high school, it was similar to the Clarks. It was very different than the last three. You know, it was like this weird, like, it was just very different. You know, we had people change at school. We had new teachers, you know. And
was that when we changed band?
Yeah, that's when we changed band directors, yeah.
Oh, right.
So, like, again, this is the kind of stuff that played into my, like, Smallville is my life kind of point of view. Because, you know, it's not a beat-for-beat thing, okay? That's silly. But, like, you know, the overall big picture stuff, there were certain changes at certain times that have kind of somewhat correlated, sometimes through just mere... happenstance, sometimes because I kind of like made things that way. But yeah, so I mean, that's season 4, just a weird time, and I do look forward to revisiting. Now I will say this though, season 4 was the first time Lance and I actually started watching Smallville together, because he had gone to college, but we'd get together every week and watch Smallville. You know, I tape it on my VCR, good old VHS technology, and then we'd watch it late on Wednesday night together. So that's a milestone, I guess, for the podcast. But anyway.
Tangent. You said VCR. Did they ever put Smallville on Laserdisc? Or is it
first of all too old? No. I thought you were gonna ask about did they ever put Smallville on VHS, which would have been a much more logical question, Nick. although, you know, in our episode on Ryan, I know Tyler Patrick was like, you know, Smallville came out in the '90s. Like they would come out with like a VHS tape, and it would have Stray from season 1 and Ryan from season 2 on it, you know? And there are a lot of episodes, actually, if you look at the first 2 or 3 seasons of Smallville, you could do that with. You could do it with X-Ray and Visage. You could do it with Jitters and Insurgents, you know, kind of, they're sequels, but they're not really sequels, you know, Lineage and Prodigal, maybe, you know, it's episodes that tie together that are companion pieces, but not necessarily like part 1 and part 2. But no, they were never on VHS, and they certainly were never on Laserdisc. So.
I don't know, because I only asked because, remember, I think I got The Shadow on Laserdisc because of you guys. I forget how that happened, but you guys told me to get it, and I ended up picking it up.
The Shadow knows. Did you get it at Half Price Books?
Yes, I did.
It's a great source of Laserdisc. Anyway, our next email is from Max Holen, and he says, "Always hold on. Level 3 would be a nice title, too." You know, I actually thought about Level 3. Like, if I wanted to do, like, real inside baseball title for the podcast, I would have called it Level 3, you know, because then Jitter's like, "Take me to Level 3. There is no Level 3. Level 3, the secret Luther Corp facility where things are being done at Luther Corp plant. But I said, you know what? If I want brand recognition, I need to have Smallville in the title, you know, of the show. And then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, Jonathan Kent's last line, or ghost Jonathan Kent, whatever that was, right? He says, "Always hold on to Smallville." I'm like, well, that's perfect. That's a perfect title. It's an actual quote from the show. It's a perfect title for the podcast because that's what we're doing. We're always holding on to Smallville. It's about the show and the town, so it's kind of meta. So it works pretty well. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's why I ended up deciding on that. But he says, hey, guys, my name's Max, and I just found your podcast. I'm from Germany, so forgive me when my grammar or spelling is off at any point. Smallville wasn't treated that well over here. First, it was on Saturday afternoons. Then it aired around 11 p.m. on Wednesday. The last season didn't air until this summer on TV around midnight, which is insanity, right? And the DVD to season 10 was available around 2013. I'm a student. He's a junior in high school. And instantly loved this series when I found it 2 years ago. I bought the whole DVD box and worshiped this series until today. It also helped me through a pretty rough time in my life, and I can't picture life without it. The moral lessons, the light colors, the Luthers, and, of course, music endings made this series so awesome to me. All right, gotta love the music. That was my jam. It still is. And no one here talks about it because none of my friends have seen it. It's a bit frustrating because I just want to talk about the show. Then I found you, Zach, and my wishes came true. Thanks for that. Well, you're welcome, Max. I'm glad we can help you out there, buddy. Many people on the internet bash season 10 and talk about how crappy it was. One of your guests said he only likes 4 episodes. I sometimes feel like I'm the only one that likes it. Of course, there were episodes that were just crap, like ISIS, Collateral, Fortune, and of course, Finale. Ouch, throwing the finale in there, which had a really good Clark and Lex scene, I agree. But there are many good ones. Lazarus, S.H.I.E.L.D., Homecoming, Harvest. Gotta love Alexander. I agree. Harvest is a pretty...
Harvest is a good episode.
Well, it's a questionable episode, but the Alexander subplot with the Lex clone, that's what makes that episode. Ambush, Luther, Kent, Patriot, Beacon, Scion, Booster, Dominion, Prophecy. Prophecy, no. I agree with most of those. Prophecy, no. Very disappointing. It's the penultimate episode of the show. And we made it a whole, let's switcheroo Clark's powers with Clark and Lois. Like, no. That's not what you do. So I was not a fan of Prophecy. But Dominion was great. Dominion was an excellent way to kind of wrap up the Zod story. Zod had been an ever-present figure in Smallville from seasons 5 through 9. So to wrap him up in season 10 and kind of set up his status quo for Superman mythology moving forward was great. He goes on to say, the producers kept forgetting that they always wrote off Kara. That's true. And I was pretty disappointed that Toy Man's and Justice League didn't show up in the finale, but that installment was a complete disappointment. Anyway, again, hard to argue with that on certain levels. On certain levels, the finale is a complete failure. I can't disagree there, but there's some good in it. As you said, the Lex scene, you know, Lionel and Tess,
well, there you go. that explains
the fallout. Again, the Luther saved the show. Again, really, really, the Luther saved the show. So thanks so much for that email, Max. We'll go ahead and move on to the next one here, Nick.
So our next mail is from Tony Snyder. Oh, any relation to Zack Snyder? No, I highly doubt it.
Zack the Hack Snyder, as they call him. Listen. I do not fault Zack Snyder for the reason the DCEU is the way it is. People love hating on Zack Snyder. Watchmen's great, 300's great, you know. Sucker Punch is what I understand is pretty terrible. Although Lance owns it on Blu-ray for some reason, I don't know.
I enjoyed it.
I'll have to borrow it from him sometime. Do you own it on Blu-ray?
No, I don't.
I was gonna borrow it from you instead. So you know, Lance doesn't live here anymore, so I'll have to be like, he can Netflix it to me, send it to me in the mail.
I think I've seen that on sale, like on Slick Deals, like for $2 every now and then. I'll let you look.
If I'm interested in a movie and I think I'm gonna see more than once, that's my policy. I'll buy it if it's less than $10 on Blu-ray. I buy it if it's less than $5 on DVD. I buy it if I think I'm gonna enjoy it and want to see it. Or because if you think about like how am I gonna see this movie, you gotta rent it, you gotta do all this weird stuff. I just assume buy it, you know. But Sucker Punch is supposed to be terrible. I heard Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole, which is a ridiculous title, by the way.
Oh.
What is with Zack Snyder in these titles? Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole. Come on. All that to say, Zack Snyder, he gets a lot of unjustified hate, I think. Sure, the DCEU is not what we wanted, but he's a director. He's not the writer, you know?
Right.
So look at the source and take it from there. But anyway, Tony Snyder, I doubt there's any relation.
Who knows?
Please continue.
Wow, we're going to get another email. Like,
he's my brother, and how dare you say those things?
Anyway, so he goes to write, Smallville's population. Hey, Zach, I've really enjoyed the podcast. Brings back great memories. Smallville has been my favorite show. I watch it from start to finish every week. I love how you point out obvious flaws or stuff that doesn't add up that I never noticed before. And I constantly would love to, this is me talking about defending their writers, but we'll see.
The great fanboy justifications,
man. One thing I've always scratched my head about is about Smallville's population. In the pilot episode before the meteor shower, the sign reads like 25,000 or so. And after, I think it jumps up to 45,000. But if this is supposed to be a small town where everyone knows everyone, and there's one or two coffee shops, there's no way it could be that size. I grew up in a town of 5,000 and is bigger than Smallville is portrayed. Another thing I want to add, you've joked before about playing pickup basketball games during school hours in jeans. Wanted to let you know, my school in Iowa, our lunchtime also included some free time where we could play basketball or volleyball in our regular school clothes until classes started. So it does happen. Anyway, keep up the good work, and I look forward to new episodes. Huh. I didn't know about the meteor shower sign saying 25,000 to 45,000. I'm trying to see if I can actually defend it somehow.
Yeah, I mean, so this town is devastated by the meteor shower in 1989, and then, what, 12 years later, like, it almost doubles in population? That's interesting. So that's a good point there, Tony.
Maybe that's the effect of the meteor rocks. No.
See, listen to this guy. Fanboy justification.
No, that one makes no sense. So, yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't notice that, and I can't really think of a justification for that unless they made the Meteorox thing an actual, like, a tourist attraction, but that would only bring tourists, not actual people to live there. Mm-hmm. Huh.
So our friend Varun Hans, who's emailed us before, had this to say, wanted to correct me about something I was incorrect about. He says, hey, Zach. I heard your recent podcast on Lineage, and you made an error. The episode where Lois dunks Clark, where Chloe looks on, was not devoted. It was facade. Just thought I'd let you know. Well, thank you, Varun. Now I know. So, I mean, those early season 4 episodes, kind of blurred, especially those two, I always got facade and devoted confused. Because it was like Lois in high school with them, like, and hijinks ensue. You know, so anyway, those episodes literally blurred together. Thank you for the correction.
Do you get a lot of those?
Well, Nick, you know me. I'm usually right about everything. So,
you like to think you're
rare.
Right about it.
Very rare. Very rare.
All right. So, another mail from Corey. This one's about Lineage. Hey, I had a great time listening to your latest Smallville review. I gave Lineage a B+ rating. A very solid episode. My favorite part of the episode was the realization that Jonathan helped the Luthers get their foot in the door of Smallville. Take care, Corey Moore. Oh, no up in the way.
I know, I was going to say no up in the way. So, yeah, our next couple emails come from Matthew Santiago. So thank you so much, Matthew. He says, first email says, thoughts on podcast. Hey, Zach, I love this podcast. I was literally searching for Smallville podcast recently and came across this great show. Although I disagree on your views on season 4 and probably Lois. again, right? I love that there is a show where this show can be appreciated amongst this new age of superheroes. Kind of what you were saying earlier, Nick. I own every season on DVD, and I remember watching them with my dad. I have to admit, I love season 4 because it is my favorite. It has my favorite episode, Crusade, and introduced my favorite character of the series, Lois freaking Lane. Season 4 probably gives us the most background and focus on Lois than any other season. I mean, that's true. We do meet her father and her sister. To me, Erica Durance is Lois Lane, similar to how Michael Rosenbaum is the definitive Lex Luthor. I cannot wait to get to the later seasons and listen to how you try to justify seasons 5 and 6, my least favorite seasons. All jokes aside, keep up the great work.
This makes me wonder when I rewatch season 4 if I'm going to love it or hate it.
Like, was I missing something? I don't. Yeah, everybody loves it. They're like, you don't like season 4? How dare you, sir? It's like, I go back and forth between 4 or 7, which one's worse? But 7. I mean, 7 had the writer strike, so you got to take that into consideration.
Oh, true.
Right? But then 4 had the death of Christopher Reeve, right? Christopher Reeve is going to play a much bigger role in season 4, but then he died, unfortunately, right. Tragically, really. It's tough because both those seasons, like, they both had major things going on behind the scenes that were beyond their control that affected them. Although, if you look at season 4, the Kents are still there, which is huge because they kind of what make Smallville Smallville. There was kind of Lex Lana going on in season 4, I guess, a little bit, but it was very, very subtle and like vaguely implied. Season 7, Lex is like kind of lovelorn over Lana because they had gotten married in season 6, you know, which is, I can see why can see why you don't like season 5 and 6 for those reasons. I always really liked season 5. I mean, I haven't revisited it in a long time, but I remember at the time I thought, man, season 5 is the best season, because at the time you're finally getting all the stuff you've been waiting for. You get the Daily Planet, you get Metropolis, you get, you know, I liked the pairing off of like Lana and Lex, and then Chloe and Clark gravitated towards each other, culminating in that awesome kiss in the season finale. I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Chloe and Clark. I was so
it's
happy.
It's happening.
My shipper heart skipped a beat. I mean, it was epic stuff. You know, Brainiac and Zod, and like, it was like, oh wow, stuff's getting real.
Right.
And you think, at this point, you think, oh, Smallville's wrapping up. It's moving towards something, right? Little did they know they had 5 more years to go, or they would not have killed Jonathan in season 5. They would not have brought Lois Lane in season 4, right? Yeah. If they thought they were going to last 10 years. No way. No way. That's why they had to stall all these character development. But anyway, a victim of his own success, as I often say. Matthew goes on to write another one. He says, my relationship with Smallville. Hey, Zach, I wanted to take the time to let you know my relationship with this show and what it means that this podcast exists. I remember seeing a commercial for Smallville back when I was watching Pokemon as a kid. I didn't care.
Woo!
I went to Best Buy and noticed the box art for season 1 and noticed the Superman insignia. I wanted to watch it, but my parents told me I was too young. When I was in middle school, my dad and I were at the local library looking for something to watch. We found season 1 and gave it a shot. I remember really liking it at first. Then in the beginning of my spring break, my dad and I finished season 1, and we were rushing to the library after the amazing finale. We got through seasons 2 and 3 in 1 week. One week. Wow. I was so excited about Smallville. I noticed it was on TV and carelessly watched the Banshee episode of season 9. I believe that's Escape. I now own every season on DVD, even seasons 5, 6, and 10, which were seasons I was not excited about. This show has presented to me the definitive Lex Luthor, Jonathan and Martha Kent, and Lois Lane. In a life where we have superhero series everywhere, it is easy to forget about this show. I appreciate this nostalgia trip. Personally, one of the things on my bucket list is to remake/reboot this series with more up-to-date special effects, a more age-appropriate Clark Kent actor, and a real transition from Clark into Superman, which I feel Smallville struggled with near the end. Thank you for your work, and I hope to share my opinion at some point. #season4 is good. So
that's what's going to happen. You're going to start that hashtag.
So thank you, Matthew, for both the emails there.
I totally forgot that libraries actually rented out movies, and now when I think about it, I think I did get a couple of them.
There's a lot of people have been talking about that. And you know what? I think, and to that point, you know, we were talking about, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays and whatever earlier. For some DVDs, I think that I might not watch again or upgrade to Blu-ray. I might just give my DVDs away to the library, to be honest, because, you know, a lot of people, like, I have, like, for example, I have the Superman movies, right? When they first came out on DVD, I have the 4-pack. But then I, of course, got like the ultimate DVD set when it came out in 2006, the year of Superman, according to WB. So I have them on DVD again, and it's like, well, I don't need them on DVD twice, and eventually I need to upgrade those to Blu-ray. But I was like, oh, but these are my Superman DVDs. I can't give them away. But it's like, well, what do I need them for? I don't need them. They're taking up space, and someone else could watch them. And it's like, I could go sell them the Half-Price books for like $1, right? Because Half-Price books would sell me for $1, and then I would get like – and then they would sell they would give me $1 for them, and then they turn around and sell them for $3 or some crap, right? But anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'll just give it to a local library or something.
I think that would be great, because just right here, Matthew basically didn't see it appealing, and they just happened to be at a library, and they saw it on the shelf and just became a fan.
Because as we're all aware, not everything's on Netflix, by the way.
Yeah.
Not even Smallville. It's on Hulu. So anyway. You know, Hulu has some good movies on it. You know,
It has Sicario. Yeah. I watched it one night. I was like, this is an amazing movie, and I've been meaning to watch it. Like, I had no idea it was
Netflix,
on Hulu.
No way you're going to find that on Netflix. Netflix, they still want you to get the disc, right? But they have, like, and it's very seasonal, right? Netflix will switch stuff out, like, every month or and it's hard to keep track. Hulu, I mean, I haven't watched any movies on it yet. My life is, I lead a busy life, my friends. And I do two podcasts, right? And then I watch all these stupid CW shows. There's freaking 4 of them. You know, I'm trying to keep up. I'm not up to speed yet.
I am not up to speed either. I really want to watch the crossover event just to date this podcast just a little bit.
I know. I feel bad that I'm not up to speed. That's a huge event in DC history. And I'm like, I had a busy week. Sorry. I'll get to it later in the hiatus. But God, I don't have time to really take advantage of Hulu like the way I should be. But I noticed, I'm like, there's some good movies on here. So I'll keep an eye out, because, you know, sometimes there's always like movies you see come out and you're like, oh, I want to see that. But then your schedule doesn't work out. You want to go see it with people. It doesn't happen. So you just kind of fall through the cracks and you never end up seeing it because of that. But on Hulu, you can see it. So what is the ad for? Where is my Hulu endorsement? Can we get an endorsement by Hulu? This podcast brought to you by Hulu. No, not going to happen, Nick. It's not going to happen.
I don't know. We'll see.
I like our autonomy here. You know, I can just kind of do whatever I want. You know, I do what I want. That's a quote from something. I don't know what it's from. But
it's South Park. I can't believe it.
I do what I want. anyway, let's talk about this for a second. Rebooting Smallville. What are your thoughts on that, Nick? I have my thoughts, but what do you think?
I think they should really focus on the fact that he wouldn't be able to control like that. So the best episodes, as we mentioned before, is always when he has to figure out how to keep his powers in check while he's at school or as he was going through high school. And I think if they had a little bit more those type of episodes rather than doing the freak of the week type of deal. But okay, now when I think about it, I don't know what I would change. Because Smallville was a great show.
Well, also, you can't really, and I think reboot is the wrong terminology here, because you can't reboot something that's already an interpretation of an existing property. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, I thought about this. I've tried to think of an example about this, but like, how would you reboot Merlin, the TV show? No, it's just a different spin off of the Arthur myth, right? So you wouldn't reboot Smallville. You just revisit the Superman mythology and from a different way. Because, like, is Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, a reboot of the George Reeves show? No, it's not. No. It's just a new spin on Superman. So rebooting Smallville is probably the wrong terminology. Like, another series about a young Superman? I mean, there was a Superboy show that no one... That's the series that time forgot right there, Superboy. I mean, they're not reboots, you know? Like Man of Steel is not a reboot of the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, right? It's a new interpretation.
Right, interpretation.
So if they ever made a young Superman show again, which I don't think they ever will, to be honest, because I think we're in a much greater world now of comic book television and stories. So Smallville was at this time where like people were like, oh, okay, how can we tell a superhero story without telling a superhero story? That's what people wanted back then. They wanted Birds of Prey. They wanted post-Batman of Gotham, right? They wanted Smallville.
I keep forgetting about Birds of Prey.
Yeah, most people do. that's the closest thing Smallville has to a spinoff, you know? And there, of course, there's the Aquaman pilot. But I haven't seen. People ask, like, what are you going to do when Smallville's over? First of all, that's like in 2020. So let's just all just take our time and enjoy our journey here. But it's like, I don't know, I guess I could cover Birds of Prey and the Aquaman pilot, anything tangentially related to Smallville, you know, because they do mention there's a reference in Birds of Prey to metahumans from Meteorox, which is kind of like the tie into Smallville. Now, had Birds of Prey ran 5 years or something, I don't know what they would have done. Could they have had Michael Rosenbaum appear on it as an older Lex Luthor? I don't know. Because, you know, it's got to be like, if it's Batman's retired at that point, it's got to be like 25 years after Smallville at least. So New Gotham, whatever that is. But anyway, that talk about talk about tangents. But yeah, look, if I were to do Smallville from scratch, I think Smallville make an excellent miniseries, right? Like if you make it like, I know it's so cliche, it's just an easy answer, right? Make it like Daredevil. You know, it's 10 episodes.
Oh, 10 episodes.
But you do like 5 seasons or whatever. But if you need to have it on broadcast, have it on cable, like I don't know, have it on TNT or something, right? Have it 13 episodes, right? Because that's what most of the scripted hour-long dramas are now on cable, right? They're like 13 mm-hmm. episodes. Have it 13 episodes. You cut out all this filler. You cut out all these Freak of the Weeks. You focus on character arcs. You know your direction. You know your end point. You stick to it. That was Smallville's greatest weakness, right? Was not knowing their end point. They thought, I mean, they had a plan, and the plan changed, and then it kept changing, and they kept it was a victim of its own success. Like, well, we can't cancel this show. This is our network's most popular show. We got to keep it going. Like, but it's a show about a young Superman. Like, there's an expiration date to that, and it was never intended. Like, the end of the show was supposed to be like him putting on a suit and flying off, and that was it. And it wasn't like the end of Darkseid is here with Apocalypse. It's like that is way too big. Should have been a much more personal story between Lex and Clark, mm-hmm. and the culmination of their rivalry. You know. And then Lana leaving her behind, having a logical end to that relationship. Lois might not even be a character, or you know, Chloe could be Lois Lane. That's the one thing I would change. That's the one thing I would change. I would make Chloe be Lois Lane. That would be the twist, right? I mean, yeah, that will come up again in conversation. I'm sure things, and we always talk about the what ifs of this show, but I mean stuff because like so many of the actors are the iconic versions of these characters. Mike Rosenbaum is Lex. Annette O'Toole and John Schneider are Martha and Jonathan Kent, right? Lionel Luther, right? Created for the show, brilliant. John Glover, Allison Mack, created for the show, Chloe Sullivan, brilliant. So you can't change to try and replicate, like, tell me who would be a better young Lex Luthor than Michael Rosenbaum. Like, I defy you. It's tough, right? It's tough. Whenever you have a new interpretation of something, it's hard to live up to what's come before. Smallville definitely had its faults, but did a whole lot right. You know, but I feel like, you know, if they just, that's the key, though. If they had a plan, they stuck to it, and they had a firm end date, it didn't keep having to alter their plan, they could have had a much better, because look, over the 10 seasons of Smallville, you can condense that, you can literally cut it in half, cut all the filler, cut all the fat, condense it into 5 seasons. Excellent show, right? If you just do that. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's a good show. It's my favorite show. But it's, I mean, it's not an excellent show overall. I mean, we'll have to, I'll say it right now. I see its faults, right? But I still love it anyway. Hindsight is always 2020. You got to understand, this was in the early 2000s. They were forging new ground. You know, this was the only show of its kind for a long time. These shows are not easy to do, is what I'm trying to say.
So our next letter here is from Rachel DeSitta. She writes, just found your podcast. Hi, guys. I've just begun listening to your podcast, and I'm trying to watch and listen to every episode every day to catch up to you. Are you going to have a female guest on? It would be nice to have a woman's perspective. Are you going to talk about the DVD extras? I find those to be very interesting and provide insight to some of the questions that might arise during the show. I'm enthusiastic about your show. Rachel.
Well, thanks, Rachel. I appreciate that. Yeah, and you asked a lot of questions there. We kind of weeded it down for the purposes of the podcast. But, you know, as you've been catching up, you'll find that, yeah, we do have a female guest, Nancy Petru. She's been on a few episodes, and we'll continue to do so. And, you know, we're working on getting some more. I'm all about, you know, getting different perspectives, as you said. Men are from Mars, and women are from Venus, as the book says, Nick. Love how Clark is reading that in an episode of Smallville. So funny.
I was like, why is it? Okay.
the books they choose for him to read. But, and yeah, we are going to talk about, you know, when they come up, the DVD extras, you know, behind the scenes stuff. We definitely will be covering the Chloe Chronicles. There's the Chloe Chronicles and the Vengeance Chronicles. That's some, they were originally for AOL, I believe. Allison Mack playing Chloe, right, of course. Right. Little vignettes of Chloe. This is like pre-viral marketing. This is, you know, the early days of this kind of thing. And then also the commentaries that they do on the DVDs for episodes, which they only do a couple of seasons. I wish they do more, because there were 22 episodes. I feel like they probably could have gotten more if they wanted, because you look at Community, right? I know it's totally different. It's a comedy. It's half hour long. They have a commentary on like every single episode with like almost the entire cast on it. I mean, that's incredible. Now, have I watched those? No. But I'm glad they're there for me to listen to when I want, right? So anyway, but yeah, so DVD extras, any kind of special stuff like that, we definitely like to talk about on the show. I mean, I know you asked some other things about other Superman publications, movies, things like that. You know, we have our Superman specials when it's appropriate, like when it's time sensitive, so to speak. Supergirl, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, stuff like that. I say Man of Steel. We actually haven't talked about Man of Steel yet. I'll probably work that, because we're definitely going to do Superman Returns between seasons 5 and 6.
With Krauss.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? He would definitely have to be on that one. We're definitely going to talk about Superman Returns between seasons 5 and 6. And then we're definitely going to talk about Man of Steel at some point, I guess, after the series finale, because that was the next thing, right? Smallville ended in 2011, Man of Steel in 2013. So I'll probably talk about that then. But yeah, you know, we'll, I mean, we're Smallville first and foremost here, but the big Superman things that are influence what's going on right now, we definitely have to talk about, because Superman Returns had such a huge influence on the show. Its very existence changed what Smallville, like the nature of the show, really, in a lot of areas, because they had to incorporate a lot of things in the movies and things like that. So thank you, Rachel. We were not overwhelmed by your questions, and I'm glad you're enthusiastic about the show. Hope you enjoy. Please don't be a stranger. Keep writing back. So then our friend Corey Moore, I was worried about Corey. He didn't write for a couple weeks. I was like, Corey, all right, man. But he writes about Skinwalker. He says, hi, Zach. Hopefully you had a nice Thanksgiving. We had a nice, relaxing day with the family. And that was to me, not to you, Nick, so don't thank him.
Okay, I'll go back to my corner.
Yeah, thank you. Wait for the next email, okay? Gosh, this guy. We had a nice, relaxing day with the family and watching football games. And he goes on to talk about Skinwalker. This episode is frustrating for me. One step forward, two steps back, a straight-up C. A lot going on for just one episode. I agree. Huge for the mythology, but the execution was weak and lacking. That's my commentary on his. He goes on to say, I noticed you are a sports fan. I propose we do an always hold on to Smallville Fantasy Baseball League or football next season. We could gather 12, 14, or 16 of the hosts and listeners to form a league. I would be willing to be the commissioner. The team names would have to be Smallville-inspired. The Smallville Smashers, the Metropolis Mashers, the Clobbering Kents, etc. What do you think? Do you play fantasy sports? I do play fantasy sports, Corey. Thank you for the email. I was the Smallville Crows for a long time in my fantasy baseball league. Then I eventually came to the Metropolis Meteors. So I'm
I
now
wonder
the,
where you got those from.
Yeah, exactly. I only play one fantasy sport now. It's fantasy football, and I am the Marvel Avengers. So I know what a turncoat I am, right?
Oh, wow. But, wow, my bad.
I don't know. That's an interesting idea. We'll have to put the feelers out there for the Always On the Smallville Fantasy Sports League. Fantasy baseball, I love baseball. It's my favorite sport, but it is a lot of the uptake and, you know, keeping up with stuff. Fantasy football, maybe a little bit more open to, you know? I don't know, Nick, you're not a big sports guy.
So hey, but from what I understand, fantasy leagues is just like playing like RPG type of things.
There you go. Look at it in those terms. Exactly. Well, I'm going to use my level 4 quarterback against your level 3 defense, and I'm at plus 1. Exactly. That's how it works. Exactly.
I would not mind being on a league.
Well,
so.
we'll put the feeler out there. I'm gonna say football. I know it'd be a year away now because we're in the middle of football season right now, but don't worry, the podcast will still be going on. So. Yeah, I'd be up for that, Corey. We can talk more details later on. But again, thank you as always for the email, and I look forward to hearing about your thoughts on the next episodes coming up.
All right, so our next letter is from another two first name or maybe middle name person, because I have two first names, Nick Ryan. This is from John Arthur Beeman. Recently discovered you while doing some research for a podcast I was hoping to start, a Smallville episode commentary style program, which would have been titled Somebody Save Me. Oh, hey, I like that title too. Needless to say, but I will always hold on to Smallville is an exceptionally crafted podcast and fills the void in the podcasting community perfectly. I'm still having to play some catch up, but having a lot of fun listening to your thoughts on one of my favorite shows of all time. I was planning to rewatch the entire series anyways, but now I get to play along with Always Smallville for the next few years. Looking forward to it. Thanks, John. And I do like that name. Somebody Save Me. Did that come across your mind, Zach?
Maybe. I mean, I definitely thought about level 3, level 33.1, you know, the Talon or something like that, the Torch, you know.
The torch.
You think about things like that. But again, it all comes back to like the name recognition. If you put Smallville in the title, people search Smallville and they find it, you know. And it's a quote from the show. Somebody Save Me. It'd be a good one. That's a good one. And John, you know, and I've responded to John as well on Messenger, because that's where this one comes from. You know, like I said, man, there's plenty of room for more podcasts out there, more interpretations. So I'd be all about it, man. Just because we exist, don't feel like that you don't need to do yours anymore. We're all going to have a different approach to it. So much like there are many interpretations of Superman, there can be many podcasts about Smallville. So thanks, John, for listening. And I'm glad you're such a fan. And, you know, if you start yours up, let us know. And we'll be happy to listen it and support it, man. So moving on to our next message from John Thomas. He says, hey, man, I just discovered your podcast last week, and I've been chewing through every commentary on my morning and evening commutes. You've reignited my love for the series. Thank you so much for your hard work and dedication. Smallville is easily one of my all-time favorite series, and I own all of them on DVD. Yeah, I actually own some physical media, LOL. Yeah, exactly, right? We've been talking about that here. I mean, it's on Hulu now, but I still watch it on my DVDs. You know, I mean, there's special features, there's commentaries. I like that. When I rewatch Smallville, when the podcast is over, I'll probably watch it on Hulu. I mean, Hulu's good for easy reference, you know,
right.
If I need to go find something quickly. But on the whole, I'm sticking to my DVDs. I mean, I paid good money for these DVDs back in the day. I'm going to put them in good use. He goes on to say, I've watched all the bonus features in every box set, and I consider myself a true buff of the show. I love a chance to be on the show if you ever would do me the honor of having me as a guest. Keep up the hard work, John Thomas. Okay, John, well, cool, man. We'll keep you posted, man. You know, we have our stable of guests and podcasters and all that good stuff, mm-hmm. But I'm always for opening it up to new voices and new interpretations of things, because you never know what people are going to bring to the conversation. So definitely, John, let's keep in touch, and maybe, who knows, maybe you'll find yourself on the other side of the microphone. So
and actually, what's really interesting, I don't know if it's still going to be a on sale when it comes out, but right now the whole series of Smallville is $89.99 on Amazon. So
I would buy that, but I have them all on DVD already. I know it's a cool collection. I always said when it comes out on Blu-ray, I'll buy the whole set, but I don't know if it ever will. Yeah. But we'll see. So.
Yeah, but $89.99 is not too bad of a deal. That's like less than that's like $9 per season. So
for 200 hours of entertainment, I mean, you know.
Yeah. All right, so we have another letter here from John Riggs. He writes, I'm not trying to be that guy, but I have to say, I got to go to my prom freshman year of high school. But that was because I went with my girlfriend, who happened to be a senior.
She's a senior! She plays the C-net, and she likes cornbread. All right, the seven of you who went to high school with us who listen to this show will enjoy that. By the way, Nick, so I have you know how I pulled out my More for President poster, which you helped me make?
Yes, I saw that.
So I have that. I have that still, and you guys saw it on my social media. I have, you know, the French horn section thing we did?
Yes.
With the raw pictures. I have that. I was in my garage back home, and I got it. So sweet. I'll, you know, maybe when we get to season four and I talk about my weird senior year, I'll hang that up. I'll send you guys a picture. But it's all the characters. I'm, of course, Superman. Who are you in it? Are you Sinestro?
I am Sinestro. Yes. Yes, I am Sinestro. It might have been because it kind of looked oriental.
Man, let's. So basically, guys, we're geeking out about our band days here. But I played the French horn in high school. Nick played the French horn. I was a couple years older than him. I was the section leader my senior year. Marching band is a big deal when you're in high school, and at least in Texas, right, where band is a big deal where we're from. Oh. Every section makes like a big poster or something every year. We did a section, and I was a big nerd if I knew what my deal was. And most of the other guys were as well, guys and girls, big comic book fans and stuff. So everybody was like a superhero. And who was it? Was it Matt that drew them all, or was it you?
It wasn't me. I forgot who.
I think it was Matt. Was it Matt Lewis?
Was it Matt? Was it Michael?
So many these guys, man, I swear. But anyway, we were all drawn as superheroes. I was Superman, of course, at the top. It's really cool. It's like a montage, and we all have I'll hang it up on my office wall here at some point. It's fun nostalgia. But anyway, just that I just wanted to tell Nick that I had found that, and that goes along with my More for President poster, because that was all around the same time that we made all that stuff. Yeah, good times, man.
Well, yeah, congrats to you, John, being able to go to prom as a freshman year.
I know, right? That's why I was clapping, yeah.
Yeah, like...
Did you ever get to go again, or was that...
Yeah, that's what I was my question, like, did that... Oh, congrats.
But did you go to the spring formal? That's the real question, John. So just a couple more messages here, guys, then we'll be all good. Courtney Arnold had this to say in response to my last episode on Skinwalker. Hello, Zach, if I may be so informal. You may. Long time, first time, as they say. As a native of North Dakota, I want to thank you for mentioning the Dakota Access Pipeline in the most recent episode. Skinwalker, always in the singular, thank you. I am unfortunately one of the few non-Native American residents here that is against it, talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline, and the problems of the militarized police force and hypocritical racism at play are being covered so poorly, it is good to know that the issue is reaching people in other states. But to get to my main point, I only have one complaint regarding the podcast. I've listened to and enjoyed every episode. It is great to revisit one of my favorite shows in such an in-depth manner, but your continual comments regarding the, quote, high school stuff, I think are short-sighted. As someone who is from a very small town, drastically smaller even than Smallville, I went to a small town high school, and I think that you don't allow for much wiggle room in your thoughts on high school. At Burke Central in Lignite, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, North Dakota, we attended prom from our sophomore year. And when I was a sophomore, they began allowing freshmen to attend. And we also got our class rings our sophomore year. Why we do things this way here in the Great Plains, I don't know. But I think your, quote, big city ways may be coloring your views on this. I can't say what they do in Kansas, but the writers might be getting it right more than you think. Again, this is a minor complaint. But after you mentioned North Dakota in your latest podcast, I thought it was a sign that I should weigh in. I love the podcast, and we'll be listening every step of the way, Courtney. So thanks so much, Courtney. I appreciate that. And yeah, for as far as the North Dakota, as far as the Dakota Access Pipeline goes, I'm getting some good response about that. I know that it's kind of a, you know, unexpected thing for me to bring up on this Marvel podcast, but just the current events just mirrored so closely the what they were talking about in Skinwalker with the Native Americans and the land disputes. I just felt like, look, I'd be negligent not to bring it up because that's like a social justice cause that it's actually like really gotten my attention in recent weeks, and I you know, take that very seriously. That's serious stuff. And I know, look, we have fun in our sandbox here talking about Smallville, but there's a real world stuff out there, and current events are just, you can talk about it. And anyway, I'm glad that I've heard from a few people that they've been happy that I've brought it up, and, you know, surprised and excited and just pleased that, you know, that we're bringing awareness, you know, in the limited way we can. So, you know, I'm glad I could do that, because if I didn't follow the Young Turks, I wouldn't know about that. That's like my number one news source these days. The Young Turks, the YouTube news channel. And I mean, yeah, they're covering it. They've been covering it since the jump. Not many other mainstream media has. So again, I recommend you, if you guys are interested in finding more about the Dakota Access Pipeline, check out the Young Turks YouTube page, search DAPL or Dakota Access Pipeline, and you'll get informed about that. But it's just a really bad injustice that's going on right now, frankly, just for the land that's being taken from the Native Americans for this corporation, and then also the way the protesters are being treated. Just very, very wrong. it's something that's important to me to talk to people about, and I'm talking about it here. But there it is, Nick. So,
yeah. And I have to apologize about the whole our big city ways. It is something we don't know. And actually reading the mail and you guys explaining has also been like a kind of big opener. Oh, okay. So they do have time to go hang out, play basketball afterwards. And kind of wish that happened at our school because we didn't really have that much downtime. It might be a little bit of jealousy there too.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I always say, I was Clark's age in high school, right? So I just equated my life, better or for worse, right, with Clark. And I'm like, well, I'm in school right now, the same grade he's in, doing the same thing he's doing. This is not how it works. So that's kind of the lens I'm looking at it through, right? I'm not like, what are these kids doing in school? You know, like I was a kid in school at the time. And that's why I see it that way. But no, it's very true. Different parts of the country have different, you know, traditions or, you know, setups or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, small towns are going to approach things differently than a suburb of a big town like we went to high school at, Nick. So thanks again, Courtney, for that email. And don't be a stranger. Keep writing in. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. One last one, Nick. You did the honors, sir.
All right. This one's from Taylor Evanoff. Evanoff? Okay. What's up, Zach? I'm a more recent fan of Smallville. I started watching over a year ago. I was a frequent teen drama genre show watcher in high school. I never tried Smallville for some reason, but eventually got to it. While the longest, it is definitely one of my favorite TV binges I've ever went on. I absolutely love the podcast and have been listening since the first episode. Love the specials and your use of the companion and various sites for more insight to the show. Keep up the awesome work, man. P.S. If you don't have a guest book for Prodigal, I'd love to talk about it. Probably my favorite of the series. It'd be awesome to work something out. Always hold on to Smallville, brother.
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 Brother. Hulk Hogan there. Brother. So, Nick, you know, you're our scheduled guest on Prodigal. Would you mind having Taylor on as a third that day?
I would not.
I'll let you make the call since you're the guest.
Yeah, no. I would not, because it's always great to hear from other people. And as we were mentioning here, it's always good to hear different sides of the story.
I mean, it's his favorite episode of the series, so I'll be very interested to hear his opinion.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah.
So it's your lucky day, Taylor, because me and Nick are scheduled to be on the podcast. So we'll bring you on as a third. So we'll message you back about that and work out the details. We got some time still for you to record that one, but
yeah. And I will have to ask you, I'm just curious to see how long it took you to binge all of this. Like, did you do it all in my brother? He never watched Friends,
brother.
And he binged all the seasons in one summer. So I don't, it was literally, I would wake up and he'd be watching it. I'd go to bed, he'd be watching it. So.
God, I get sick of that theme song.
I think he got it to the point where he knew exactly where to press on the seek bar to mix to miss the Friends intro.
And so no one told you life's going to be this way. Gosh. All right, Nick. Well, man, that was fun. I enjoyed reading all the thoughts from everybody. Again, thank you all so much for writing us in reviews. I mean, without you guys, this is going out into the void. Right, like we have no perception of how we're doing, what people are thinking, you know, what you guys want to hear us talk about. So I really appreciate all the feedback you guys have given us over the last few weeks, and well, from the beginning, really. So we'll mix in these mailbag shows, like I said, on a semi-regular basis. I've enjoyed doing it. I'd like to thank Nick for helping me read all these. So.
Oh, no problem. I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys, again, we didn't get to all of them. We paraphrased some, but just know that everything you guys send us is read and appreciated. And yeah, feel free to keep sending them in. Please do send us iTunes reviews, because that's going to get up the listenership, bring in more people for viewers like you, like they say on PBS, right? more listeners and all that. And yeah, we really appreciate it, guys. And just keep on being active in the Facebook group and the Twitter page. And that's just so great to have, you know, because look, we're still young. We're still early. We're only a few months into this thing, and we have literally years left to go. So we have a long journey ahead of us, and hopefully we'll pick up some more fans along the way. But I really appreciate you guys, especially the ones that've been with us from the beginning, when it was just, you know, me and Lance figuring this whole thing out. Like, hey, so let's talk about the first couple episodes, and maybe I'll put in some sound clips, and so and this gives us a chance to, not that we don't jump around the timeline all the time as it is, but it does give us a chance to kind of talk about the series just outside of the context of like one episode discussion. Although that, like I said, that really hasn't stopped us before, has it, Nick? So
no, it has not. I think by the end we probably have already what's it called? Reviewed a couple of seasons before we even got to that.
I need to have Corey Moore go back and listen to every episode and say, all right, Corey, tell us all the episodes we mentioned in this episode. He would do it too, but Corey, you don't have to. Please don't.
No, you don't have to. Please,
please
don't.
Please don't. I know you would do it, and you're an awesome guy for it, but you don't need to do that. Nick, thank you so much, man, for reading all these through me here today. It would have been kind of overwhelming by myself, so I really do appreciate it. If people want to find you on the internet, man, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Nick Ryan. So literally just NickRyan. And I do post a lot on Instagram. You can find me there at NickRyan.jpg. So like JPEG. And I don't know what to wrap up with.
It's the art of the segue, Nick. You'll learn.
Yeah, I will learn the art of the segue.
There really is no segue. It's my turn now. So as for me, you can find me at MoronZach on Twitter. That's MoreonZach. As for the podcast, you can find us at Always Smallville with one S on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. You can also send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. Several of you have, obviously. messages, Facebook messages, Twitter messages, anything. All is welcome. All will be entered into the next mailbag now that we've emptied this one out. And yes, please do leave us some iTunes reviews if you guys are enjoying the show. Just head over there to just take a couple of minutes, leave us a star rating. We have all 5 stars so far, so don't screw it up. No, it's okay. But everything is fair.
Look, I'm telling you, don't challenge them.
I like criticism, constructive criticism, feedback, encouragement, whatever you guys want to say. Please take it over to iTunes, and that's that'll just be good for all of us, good for the podcast, and then you guys can hear it read on air here on Always on the Smallville. So. Anyway, this has been our fun, our first mailbag show. I think it went pretty well. And next week, we'll be back to our regular episode discussions. We'll be talking about Visage. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.